Jeez, you switched locations of the laptop and mic to try to make it easier, and that was awkward.
How was that awkward? That's how I said hello. You don't like the way I say hello?
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
Well, fine then. Welcome to Unlocking Adventures, the podcast. Woo, woo. Is that better?
Yep.
With Lisa K and...
John K.
See, you sound very monotone when you're
I am very monotone.
Yeah, okay.
You get into your own head sometimes.
I do?
No, me. Anyways.
I don't understand what you're trying to say there.
Anyway. Don't worry about it.
I don't. Good. So, welcome to this week's topic, or episode, or whatever we're talking about.
This is off to a great start. Yes.
So, we're going to talk about some things that we wish we had known the first time we went
to Disney. Yes.
To Walt Disney World, right? Focusing on Walt Disney World, I assume?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Because you haven't been to Disneyland in a while, and I have, so I could talk about that a lot. But
yes, let's talk about how ancient I am and how long ago I went to Disneyland, yes.
We could just go to Disneyland tomorrow.
We don't have to do anything else. Oh, yeah, yeah,
just, you know, work, school, all that stuff.
Sure.
But first, before we get into our topic, I think we should talk about some big news that happened.
Word.
There was a bear in Magic Kingdom.
Is it bad that I'm shocked that hasn't really happened? Or if it has happened, it's been a long time since it's happened? They're basically surrounded by tons and tons of nature.
And people. But there's so much people and so much traffic. And how did the bear get a lightning lane?
Bear got a lightning lane, wanted to see heard the news about Country Jamboree and was like, what Country are you bear doing?
Bear Jamboree.
Fine, whatever.
Called by its right name, especially because it was a bear. Yeah, I mean, nobody was injured, right? Nobody got hurt.
They just closed half the park so that they could contain the bear and get it out of there.
Like, did he ride the Skyline? It was Magic Kingdom, too, so he was did he take a boat?
He must have taken a boat.
Only Disney transportation can get there.
He must have.
But,
you know, and, like, they closed half the park for one, was just the one bear. Like, one bear.
He really wanted some popcorn.
Really wanted some popcorn.
Mickey pretzel.
Yeah, basically.
Poor bear.
You know, it's funny because we talk about this locally all the time with wildlife and how when we were all restricted to our homes, all the wildlife around went, awesome, sweet, nature's ours again. And even after we've been released, quote unquote, from our houses to go back to normal life, the wildlife still goes, eh, whatever. We're still here. Like, they're much more not as scared of us. And maybe that's what happened here. The bear was like, I'm not supposed to go in there. Eh, but screw it. No one's going to do anything to me, right? And look, he or she shut down half the park because of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, they definitely handled it well. I just think that's so funny.
I would love, as like a numbers guy, I would love to know how long it took them from someone, whether it was a cast member or just a park goer, reporting the bear to them shutting half the park down. Like, what was the time frame between, oh my goodness, what's that, and shut it down? Because it wasn't like a quick 2-minute thing. It's like hundreds of people, if not thousands of people, you've got to herd out and go, listen, you got to move. Why? There's a bear.
Well, it was early, so they hadn't even opened that section, I think.
Is that true?
Yeah, because I saw that a lot of rides were closed, a whole sections of the park.
Oh, so it's not like they... Oh.
I think it probably happened overnight.
Doesn't make it as... dramatic.
I'm sorry. No, the bear was there. He got on this castle stage and started dancing with Mickey and Minnie. Listen. I mean, what did you want?
I wasn't telling you to dramatize it. I thought it happened during the day.
You love the drama.
Well, because when it's overnight, you're just like, yeah, whatever. It couldn't have been overnight because it was a big deal. They closed half the park to get it out. It's not like if it was overnight, they wouldn't have closed anything. No,
I think the bear was there overnight. I don't know.
Oh, you're saying like the bear camped out.
Yeah. Probably camped out in Pirates. You know, hung out.
Sir, do you not understand how the lightning lanes work? Sir, he was
trying to rope drop, you know, and he wanted to be the first one on Seven Dwarfs. Extreme
rope dropping right there.
That is extreme. What if it was just somebody in a costume, and they were just trying to, not a cast member, like somebody was like, this is how I'm going to get to the front of the line.
That would be
I want to get on Splash Mountain.
Sir, Splash Mountain is closed.
Not for bears.
right? It just wanders in like, your gates can't stop me. Just goes right in.
That's a bear noise. That's your bear noise.
They make tons of noise. Yeah.
Waka waka.
See? Yeah, there you go. Duh.
Maybe he was trying to go see Fozzie, but he went to the wrong park.
Yeah, that is a big problem.
He was really upset that there's not enough Muppet stuff.
What a surprise.
Same.
Yep.
Same, Mr. Bear. All right, so you want to jump into our topic?
Yeah, that was really the only news of the week. There was a bear.
Well, I mean, there was other things that happened. I just think that
nothing major, really, but yeah.
There's always things that happen at Walt Disney World and Disneyland. Yeah, like
bears walking through Magic Kingdom, yes. Anyways.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so.
What is our topic, anyways?
So, we are going to discuss, if you were to, what did we say? It was more clever before, and now I can't remember how clever it was.
It's very clever. Like, if you were to tell, we were talking about talking to our selves before we went to the first time to Disney World, but you kind of came up with the idea of if you were telling first timers things that you wish you knew.
Oh, if I could go back. So yeah, if I could go back to the first time, or if you're visiting for the first time, here's some tips from kind of seasoned people, I'll say. So
seasoned
tips
people.
for first times, things we wish we had known
yeah.
the first time we went.
Mm-hmm. So
shedding our light, because we've definitely made a lot of mistakes.
It's
shining, not shedding. Shining.
You said shining, right?
No, I said shedding.
Did you say
I was thinking of the bear again.
Oh, no. It's accomplished its goal. It's in our heads.
All right.
Yes, shining the light on mistakes that were made, which is fine to make mistakes because that's how you learn.
We're human.
Well, also that too.
Except you're a bear. Unless you're a bear.
I've had some worries about it. I'm waiting for the Ancestry DNA results to come back.
You missed my whole song. I was singing.
Oh, I heard it. I just blatantly ignored it.
I dislike you.
Oh, that's not nice. Anyways.
All right. So, you have three things written down.
I wrote three things down. I think they're... Well, because they're things that me thinking back to trips we've taken, things that I wish we had either done or we had thought about.
Okay.
So, would you like to hear my first... And these
are
in no order.
Sure, you go first.
So, because since you pointed at my list first.
I did point at your list.
So, it's Florida. It rains. Generally more in the summer than it does in springtime. Because we've been in March. We've been in February. We've been in April. We've been in almost every single month of the year. And every basic season that Florida has, which is always warm. But, like, it rains more during the summer and, like, the
there's a dry season, but it's, like...
Yeah, but, like, dry for Florida is, like... a drought up here in New York, basically, to be honest. It's a lot.
How
they get
is that
a lot
different?
It's tropics, so they get a lot of rain. That's not
I
my
know
point.
But you realize that you're
you derailed me.
No, but you didn't make a dry season in Florida is a drought
you derailed
in New York
me.
That was the wrong
here.
Way
you
to
derailed
do it
me.
I didn't
That's
derail
not the
you.
Point that I was trying
no,
to make.
No, but that doesn't make any sense because you were just saying it rains constantly in Florida. So a dry season in Florida is a drought in New York. That makes it sound like New York is a wetter climate.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
It really doesn't, but you've derailed me and that's not my point. My point I was trying to get to is that it rains a lot in Florida.
Okay.
More so than it does up here.
You did not need to take seven sentences.
I didn't.
Keep going.
When it rains, you should have things to keep yourself from getting super soaking wet. You'll always get a little bit wet.
Yeah.
And ponchos are the things that you see a lot of. However, what we've learned, or I think we've learned, is that the ponchos are terrible.
I hate ponchos.
Right.
This was actually on my list too.
Oh, was it? Well, there you go. The reason why ponchos are terrible is because... you want them to be compact so they're easy to pack, at least going to Florida for your Disney trip. So they're always like kind of like a cheapo material and stuff like that. But when
we make some nice ones.
Sometimes.
We don't own them.
We don't know. But when you're in Florida and it rains, it's always humid. So it's not like the rain really brings any sort of break in sort of like the temperature too much. So you've got this poncho on and it's keeping you dry-ish. But you're still like hot and sticky, and then that material's just sticking to you, and it doesn't make you feel too much better. So you and I, when we went in August of this year, and I think I don't remember if we brought them in April when we went with the kids over spring break, but we actually brought rain jackets, and that's something I wish that thinking back to like our September 2021 trip, we had done rain jackets rather than ponchos because. It rained every day of the week and more than just like a couple of quick bursts.
Yeah.
And the rain jackets were much, much better than ponchos were. And thinking back now to the suffering we did with ponchos in September, like, oh, that would have been so much better if we'd had, like, the rain jackets, because they work great when we used them.
Well, I think it... So, I agree about needing rain gear, and I agree in my dislike for ponchos. But I will say there are some people who like ponchos, and ponchos do have some positives to them. They're compact, they're easy, get rid of them fast, those kinds of things. You're not supposed to rewear a poncho in most cases.
Technically, yep.
I would say number one is remembering to bring any rain gear, right? You don't need to bring an umbrella. Some people do bring umbrellas for the shade and stuff like that, but I don't like to carry umbrellas. And if you do bring an umbrella, you have to take it out when you go to
security. Those are bulkier than the rain jackets, yeah.
Well, the other part of that is packing the correct rain gear, right? So
yeah.
They do have reusable ponchos that are like raincoat material, which may be better if you like to have that, because you can also put them over your backpack versus your coat.
This is very true.
So there are some positives to that. But no matter what it is that you bring, you need to bring a compact raincoat. Something that is easy to, like the ones that we have, actually zip into the pockets, right? So they can get really small, and they aren't heavy. They're light jackets, too.
They're very light material, yeah.
Right, because you don't need that in Florida, especially in the summer when it's going to get really, really hot. So having that, I think, yeah, I agree, it was a huge game changer for us. And we didn't start doing that until more recently.
That's my point, yeah.
We were doing the ponchos, and they were terrible, and the kids didn't like them. And we actually started this because we brought raincoats for the kids one time.
Yes.
And not for us. And I'm like, why are we not doing it for us? So.
And it's not even, like, again, the ponchos keep you dry. That's not the issue. The issue is when you have a raincoat, like the lighter material like we have, it not only keeps you dry, but it doesn't stick to you. Because, again, humidity, you're probably wearing shorts and a t-shirt or something like that. So the problem with the poncho is that it gets, like, it clings to your skin and stuff. So you just kind of feel, like, plasticky all over. Right. And it's just not a great feeling. But that's why the rain jackets were such a great, like, find. And we go, why didn't we think about this sooner, you know? But, again, there are people that like the ponchos more than rain jackets, which is fine, too. So.
Well, and I would also say, with whatever you get, you know, so I'm all about having a backpack with me. So I suggest getting, if you get a raincoat, get something that'll clip it onto the outside of your backpack versus putting a wet raincoat into your backpack so that it'll, you know, won't be as gross, because you're probably going to take it off and you're going to need it later that afternoon.
100%. Yeah.
And also, if you're someone who's prone to blisters like I am, I always bring an extra pair of shoes when I go to the parks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's annoying. It can be annoying to carry extra shoes. So if you don't want to do that, don't do that. But I always bring like a lighter pair, easy to pack, a pair of shoes and socks, or I'll pack like flip-flops to change into for when it's raining and then change back into my sneakers, because I hate walking around in wet shoes. That's just me. Not everybody's like that, but I learned that from the first time we went, and I'm, you know, very prone to blisters, very prone to like feet being annoyed, and I'm crazy about it, and so I will be the person who will carry that kind of stuff.
And that just triggered another thought to going to what you said. So we went in November last year, and it was Hurricane Nicole, turned into Tropical Storm by the time it hit Central Florida. And for whatever reason, I cannot fathom why, I didn't pack, I think I had packed flip-flops for myself. I didn't pack anything else. So I remember the first night we were there, we stayed at the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Right.
And the first night we were there, I was down, after the kids were asleep, I was down in the laundry area drying shoes in the dryer. Because I'm like, well, this was dumb. Because like, I think a second pair. Maybe I didn't have
a second
pair.
No, you didn't pack a second pair of shoes.
Because I don't know why. Like, you can see the weather reports. Like, there's a tropical storm coming. Like, pff, it's fine. So instead of packing smart, and Gregory didn't have any either, actually, I don't think.
He had an extra pair of shoes.
We didn't have any water.
His Crocs broke.
Right, the Crocs broke. The sole of it basically fell off.
Yeah, it just like disintegrated.
So he and I made the trip to the Animal Kingdom Lodge's gift shop, which thankfully they had Crocs in there. The downside is that if you plan properly and you do like your Amazon shopping or Target or whatever, you've got a much wider variety of sizes.
And like, cost.
Well, cost as well, yes. That's the first big thing. The other thing, but at that point, I knew I needed them.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, the next couple of days were going to be miserable, and walking around in flip-flops all day like that just isn't my style. And the only size they had that was going to fit was a size 10. So the blisters comment you pointed out, I didn't get any blisters, but if I had worn them for a more extended time, I might have, because I could feel on the inside of my foot. Like it was the material was rubbing. So it was great because, you know, I could walk around in those shoes and it was fine, but extended walking would have been an absolute nightmare for my poor feet. So that better planning would have helped out in that case.
Well, and I think, so going off of that, you know, the big thing is test your footwear, right? That would be a big tip for me, whatever it is. So I know some people, like my sister will wear Crocs throughout the park no matter what, and she has no problem wearing them and her feet are fine.
Yep.
I would get huge blisters on them. I know that I have weird feet and that I am going to want to break in any sneakers I have, break in like with socks and shoes and all of that. Never wear new shoes.
Never.
If you're someone who can walk, you know, 10,000 steps in flip-flops and have no issues, do it.
Congratulations. Right?
Yeah, I can't do that. But do it, because you are going to walk so much while you're there, more than you will ever think. On average, we did 20,000 steps a day.
That's
on average, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, some days we were more, some days we were less.
Yep.
And that's a lot on your feet. So when you have brand new shoes, and if your shoes are at all uncomfortable, don't wear them. Don't bring them. I have these awesome pair of shoes that I wanted to wear. They were Muppet shoes, and they were too tight. I did everything I could to stretch them.
I remember that, yeah.
And they just weren't, they didn't work out well for me. So it's really, you know, fine shoes. You can get cute shoes too, because I like cute shoes, but just make sure you break them in and test them and walk around, you know, walk around your neighborhood, walk around, wear them for a couple of days, for a few days, weeks if you can.
Definitely.
And get them situated. I would say do the same thing with your kids. Don't buy them brand new sneakers to wear or brand new shoes to wear. Make sure, because their feet are going to hurt you. You're going to be walking around a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You walk
absolutely
constantly. You're on your feet constantly.
This is very true.
So, yeah. And with all of that, if you are prone to blisters and all of those things, make sure that you have this, like, Band-Aids.
The first aid
that you need for your feet, so that you, like, moleskin's a big one. If you're prone to those kinds of things.
Right.
So that you don't have to be in that situation. Because the last thing you want is for you to, you know, not be able to walk anymore. Or, you know, like, I have a weird ankle. So,
yep.
If you have anything, like, you need, like, brace, like a brace or something like that. Like, I know from running, I need to wear a brace on my ankle when I run. And I didn't think about that in the park. And the last time we were there, my ankle swelled up.
And you missed the extended evening.
Yeah.
Because
I couldn't even walk anymore. Yeah. So it's, you know, understanding your own feet and your legs and how you maneuver and what is going to work for you and breaking all that stuff in.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess mine went. So you go again.
That was yours too?
Yeah, the shoes.
So one of the things we've learned more recently that... The first time you and I went to Disney, they didn't have Genie Plus in place. It was the old Fast Pass system.
Right.
So this isn't as relevant to that. But going back to once we started having the kids be able to go on rides, they were taught to go on rides, so we started using Genie Plus and Lightning Lanes. We didn't really have a strategy going into it. We were just like, we book stuff. You wake up at 7 a.m., you book stuff. But having watched some YouTube videos, having tested it out ourselves, I really wish we had known about, like, the afternoon... I'll call it the afternoon stacking technique with Genie Plus of, yeah, you're still waking up at, like, 6:30 or whatever to prepare yourself for 7 o'clock to grab Lightning Lanes. But if you stack them for the afternoon and then continue to monitor them while you're in the park to stack ones that maybe aren't as popular, but there will be available times you skip lines, so that way you don't feel like... You don't need to rope drop if that's not necessarily something your family enjoys or wants to do. But then you still have access to all these great rides. There are still some that are going to be a fight to get, even for the afternoon at 7 a.m. when you try to grab them. But the afternoon stack worked really well for us when it was just you and I. And like this past August, we did that. And it worked out great. Like we got on a whole bunch of even like random small things that you probably wouldn't normally use Genie Plus on, but we figured why not, because you can skip even the short 10-15 minute line and just jump right on it.
Well, and I think we should back that up a little bit about what that means to stack.
Yeah.
So So Genie Plus, obviously, for those of you who don't know, it's the item that you purchase in order to basically jump the line, utilize the Lightning Link. Not jump the line, there's still somewhat a line when you do Lightning
Link.
So it's, you know, variable pricing. It can change day to day. It can change based on your park. You can buy it for one park. You can buy it for all four parks. You know, those kinds of things.
Right.
So I agree, the stacking is a big deal to me. So, and the way that the best strategy that I think that we've come up with now, and now this all may change because they change Genie every so often of how it works. But right now, today, the best strategy that I think we've ever had was that we get up at 7 and we have already have a plan of what's our top ride we're going to do.
Yep.
If that's a Genie Plus or if it's an individual Lightning Lane attraction that you have to pay a la carte for.
Right.
And we plan for that first, right? Because you don't want to miss it. It's like the most popular one, right? Always plan for the most popular one. So like if you want to ride Slinky Dog Dash, that one's going to go the fastest.
Yep.
So I'm going to get up at 7 and I'm going to book a Slinky Dog Dash for whenever I can get it.
Yeah.
So let's say I get at 8 o'clock at night.
Then keyword there is whenever, definitely.
Yeah, probably an 8 o'clock at night one, we'll say.
Yeah.
So then I'm going to put a timer on my phone from when the park opens. So if the park opens at 8:30, 2 hours after park opening is 10:30. And at 10:30, I'm going to book my next one. And I'm going to book it for around that time. So if I have Slinky Dog at 8, I'm going to try and book the next thing that I can for 7.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to set another timer on my phone for 2 hours, and I can book my next one at 12:30. I'm going to look at one that's at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock. And then I walk into the park, and I have 3 that are right there. And the beauty of it is that, you know, you can keep doing that and keep stacking. And then you don't have to worry as much about, like, jumping, about getting up early and trying to get everything. And you know, it just you get to utilize Genie to your advantage. So I would say going off of that, one of the things that I think is really important that I wish we had done, that we do now, that we know now that I wish we had done, is really get to know the app.
Yes, definitely.
So my Disney Experience app is going to be everything that you want for the park, right? It's going to have your tickets in it. It's going to have your information about your hotel. You can check into your hotel with it. You can open your door with it. This is all if you're staying on property.
Right.
It gives you schedules, when you can meet characters, shows. Mobile food orders. It tells you where things are. Like, the biggest thing is, like, when you're in the park and you want to find out where the closest restroom is, you can to the map function and click search and type in restroom. Or search like coffee or something or food or whatever. And the app really is useful. So there's a number of things that I recommend is just really looking at the app in advance and just getting to know it. And also making sure that you set in your phone for it to use your location and to use precise location. So that way, it's also, when you're in the park, it can pick up where you are and tell you, oh, if it seems like you're interested in doing and meeting this character, you should head over here now. The wait times aren't going to be so bad right now. So the app is really intuitive in that way, and getting to know it will help you, because I feel like a number of times, the first time you use the app or you open the app is your very first day of your trip, and then you don't actually understand the app and its capabilities until the last day, and you've missed out on all, and you're like, oh, I wish I would have. So really getting to know it, just playing around in it. You don't have to purchase things, but you can start to see, how do I purchase Genie? How do I select a Lightning Link? Just kind of practicing and kind of seeing what's going on. I think that is really helpful. And it gives you some good tips about, like, where your hotel's, and you don't have to pay for that kind of stuff. Pay for certain things, so like the Lightning Lanes or the individual Lightning attractions. That's what you're paying for, and you get a couple of other perks with that as well, but that's the biggest one. But all the other stuff in it is free. The map, the show times, like seeing wait times, all of that stuff is free and included. So really getting to know the app is very important.
And I think that's important to know. You said waiting times. You can absolutely, like, even just now, I just did it on my phone just to look, and like that's where I picked up on a couple other things on there, like mobile checkout for merchants and stuff like that, like different stores. But you can actually go to the tip board, and that's where it'll usually show you, like, the option, here you go to purchase today, purchase Genie Plus. but you can still scroll through all of the wait times. So if you're somebody that, for whatever reason, didn't know whether you wanted to purchase it before the trip, so you don't have a plan in mind, you can absolutely look and see the wait times and go, okay, is it worth using it today, like buying it today? Oh, the ride lines are kind of short right now. We'll see. Because you can purchase it in the middle of the day, too. It doesn't have to be
right
pre-7 a.m. It can sell out. I haven't seen it.
I've seen it sell out.
You've seen it sell out?
Yeah.
I have not.
But it's only on the busiest days. But yeah. I also, you know, I think just if you get to know it a little bit, it'll help you. Just even the simplest things, like practice on how to order order food.
Yes,
to do a
definitely.
Mobile order, because so many places allow you to order food in advance. So you don't have to wait in line to order food. And I think a big thing with that, too, is if you want a really popular quick service restaurant, so like Woody's Lunchbox is a really popular one. And in the middle of the day. So you really want to eat at Woody's Lunchbox. And this is a quick service. You wait in line to order your food. You can actually order all of that in advance.
Yes.
And set the time that you want it for. So we did this when we went to Rancho Roasters.
But we always do that for that, yeah.
Yeah, so we wanted to make sure that we got, you know, we had two rides we were going to do, and then we were going to go get it at 10 a.m. to get breakfast. And so I placed the order at 4:10 a.m., but I placed it at 7 a.m. So then it's already in the system, everything that you want's in there, and then you just click when you're ready, I'm here, and they prepare your order. So you can really avoid that, because they will, like those popular places, will not necessarily always have a mobile order available when you are ready.
Right,
so like it could have been, we saw the line when we went there for Rancho Roasters at 10 a.m. They also had no more mobile slots available until like 2 hours later. So if you really want one of those popular places and you're going to go during a popular mealtime, that would make sense. Almost everyone does mobile order, not everyone, so you can always check it out. But that's a good thing to practice in the app in advance. It's just looking at stuff and kind of deciding, oh, okay, yeah, I really want to try this particular place, and I'm going to see, you know, how that's going to work and go from there. So
useful for the hotel, too. If you wake up before your kids, you put in a mobile order for a breakfast, and then that way it's ready to go. They wake up and, oh, it's like magic. It's right
there. It's
magical.
Oh. Everything about Disney is magic, including waffles.
Ayo.
I love waking up to Mickey waffles.
Mm-hmm. Duh.
Well, and sometimes, you know, you find that it's just a lot easier. I dislike having to figure out going and getting to a restaurant and then finding a seat and then going and waiting, and the kids are hungry and all of that, and it's just, and I get hangry. I'm ordering it, I'm on my way, I pick it up, oh, boom, I don't, you know, and
yeah.
More and more people are using mobile order, but I will say not everybody. There are still lines, so using the mobile order really helps eliminate
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's free to mobile order. Obviously, you pay for the food, but it's free to use that functionality.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what have you got for another item there?
I feel like I just keep thinking of things as you're talking.
Which is fine. That's the whole kind of point of it, you know?
So this one might be a little controversial.
Oh, geez.
But my big tip would be is limit the number of character meals you're going to do.
Oh, you went there.
I did go there. So, you know, I know people want to go to every character meal. They want to see all the characters. And, you know, a lot of them are really fun, and I enjoy them. I really do. But it's a lot when you do multiples of those on your trip, especially your first trip, because a character meal is going to take time.
Yeah.
To really enjoy the experience and get your money's worth, in my opinion, you're going to want to spend an hour and a half there, minimum. And really depending on which one you go to, so that you can see all the characters. So when you go to Chef Mickey's, there's the Fab Five is there. You want to plan time to see all of them. And they travel to each table. They spend some time. They take photos. They sign
breaks.
Autographs. They do a dance in the middle. Then they come back. Yeah. And that same thing in a lot of the other ones. So you really want to plan your time there. And so if you have one every day, including on every park day, you're using a chunk of your park time to sit in this restaurant. And you don't want to feel rushed either. You don't want to be like, okay, we'll do it in 45 minutes. No, because these are not cheap meals either.
No.
So you're spending top dollar to go to these meals. And in some cases, the food is very good. Like Tusker House food was amazing.
Ohana's
breakfast, Best Friend's breakfast, love it.
Yep.
But you really want to be able to sit and enjoy it. And they're not going to kick you out. They're not going to rush you through it.
No.
So you really... I like doing them on non-park days, but obviously there are ones that are in park, so you can't do that in some cases, especially like if you want to go to something like Cinderella's Royal Table or...
Be Our Guest.
Be Our Guest or one of... You know, those are
in... Well, even Tusker House, you mentioned. Tusker House. That's in Animal Kingdom, so you have to go on a park day.
Yeah. But really, pick the characters that you like. Some, not all characters are everyone, right? So if there's a certain character that you need to see or your child needs to see, pick that one and do that one. You know, so like if your kid's really into Minnie Mouse, Hollywood and Vines at Hollywood Studios, and that's Minnie's restaurant. Minnie, you're definitely going to see her.
Right.
If they really need to see the princesses, there's a couple of meals for that. You know, there's a number of different places you could go. Chip and Dale, you're going to see at Garden Grill. So plan for them and then sit and enjoy it. You know, if you have little kids, you know, they're going to be entertained. There's going to be things to do. They might get a little antsy. So, you know, be prepared for that. We've had that happen. But you're going to spend so much money and so much time on these that I think limiting it to one, maybe two on your very first trip is fine. And you know, I have favorites that I would definitely recommend based on who you want to see, that I think would make the most sense. And, you know, it's different for everybody, but, really, I think that would be would be a big thing, is just limiting it and not thinking you have to do it every day.
And
you're going to get so much food, because almost all of them are all you can eat, or I'm sorry, all you care to enjoy.
Yeah, it's not like you get to a certain point and they're like, well, your food's done at this point, so why are you still hanging around?
Yeah. Some of them are not that. Some of them are plated, but still.
Well, like Hollywood and Vine is a buffet style. I believe Garden Grill is
all family is family style.
Family style.
Tusker House is a buffet now.
Right, it's back to a buffet. But the going off of that, so if you compare, so character meals, you obviously are guaranteed to see the characters.
Yes.
Which is why, from a price standpoint, like if you went to, let's say you went to Ohana and for whatever reason it wasn't characters, the price would just be whatever the food price would normally be. And then
when we did that during the pandemic.
Yes, exactly. And then when the characters are added back in, the price goes up a little bit. Because I look at it from this perspective. So if you're in the parks, there are different character meet and greets you can go to, but there's almost always a wait for those characters.
There is a lightning lane on some of them, but not all of them. Yeah.
Now, I don't think we as a family have personally seen this, but I can imagine a scenario where you're at like the back of the line and you get maybe halfway through and the characters aren't out indefinitely. They have to take breaks. And like they disappear for a little bit. So now you got a choice. Do you sit there in the line for however long it takes before they come back? Or do you just say, forget it? You know, we missed the opportunity. But a character meal, like Garden Grill, when we did it with the kids, we saw all of the characters probably three times, if not four.
Right.
Because they just kept coming around. And again, it was pandemic-y, so there weren't as many.
No, you see them anyway there. That restaurant, you see them multiple times.
Okay, I wasn't sure. But... like even Tusker House, they're in their safari outfits. We saw them at least twice, I think. Yeah. And that's where the rest of your money is going, is you're getting guaranteed character time. So if that's of the utmost importance to you or your family or whatever, yeah, definitely go for it. I do agree with you. I don't think you want to, not even just from a price perspective, I don't think you want to saddle yourself with so many character meals because of the chunks of time that it takes out of park days. And... it's what we try to, like, we've advised people that, too. Like, hey, listen, they're great, but, like, for example, we went and did Ohana one morning, but it was a Magic Kingdom day, but Ohanas aren't at 5 in the morning, and if you want a rope drop the same day, it kind of feels like you have to, like shovel everything down real fast and go if you want to make a rope drop. Now, we still made it in plenty of time and did plenty of, you know, the activities there and the rides that we wanted to do, but... I'm a big advocate for not needing to like rush through a character meal like that. Like, take your time, because Stitch could come back a second time, a third time. Who knows? And Lord knows the kids love it, and Lord knows you love it. So it's always worth it to take your time, and that's why, like, non-park days, that's a great time to do it, like you suggested. And, you know, ease into it. You know, if it's your first trip, you do one or two, and then if your family loves it, sure, absolutely. The next trip, pile them on. That's well, what you want. That's what you want to do, you know.
And a big thing of that is that you don't have to do these, right? You don't have to do a character meal. You know, so everyone says you have to do Cinderella's Royal Table, or everyone says you have to do Chef Mickey's. Yes, I will say that they are great experiences. Like, you can dine in the castle. That's great.
Yep.
But you don't have to do them either. Like, if you... Maybe you don't care about meeting the characters, or you want to just see them from afar, or your child doesn't want to see them and just wants to see them from afar.
Absolutely.
Then don't do them at all. But if it's... Or if you're fine with waiting in line, or, you know, there are certain characters that, like, aren't... like Olaf. We met Olaf. We lightning lane to meet Olaf because you can. And the wait's never too bad to meet Olaf anyway. So there are certain characters you don't have to do that with. Mm-hmm. And there are certain characters you're not going to see. So, you know, if you really want to meet Buzz, you're not going to see him in a character meal. He doesn't have one.
No, you're right. That's right.
So you're going to have to wait in line to meet Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen people wait in line, characters take a break, characters come back. I've seen that plenty of times, you know, to meet Mickey. I saw the line can get to be over an hour. It happens. So it's just really dependent on what you want out of the trip. But I mean, I love the character meals, but you know, we did our very first trip. I think we did 3, and that was a lot.
It was.
And I don't think it was necessary to do all 3. We just felt had this inclination. Oh, well, everyone says you have to do these. You don't have to do them. Pick one. Maybe 2, if you want to see different characters, maybe. I really loved doing them with our kids when they were really little. I still have a good time with them this age, and I have a good time because I like meeting characters. But it's not everybody's cup of tea. Not everybody wants to do it. So, you know, limiting it, I think, is a good one.
Plus, you have plenty of opportunities to randomly run into them. Like, we have a couple photos from the spring break trip. Gregory was asleep. I had the stroller. And we went into Epcot. I don't know where you guys might have already gone in or something like that. And Goofy was near the front in his like actual like his OG outfit, not like a Chef Mickey outfit or anything like that. And we have a couple of candid photos of him and I basically like doing weird poses because Gregory was passed out. Chance of getting that at the restaurants, you could still probably get something like that, but they're so like moving on and go. With that because of all the tables. So sometimes you can get like little candid moments like that and non-character meals. In the parks out and about.
Right.
And like you said, there are some characters that simply don't pop up in the character meals. It just, again, depends on what characters you want, if you want the characters, but yeah.
All right. You want to do another one?
Yeah, I think so. Before we became educated in Disney and all that from experience of traveling there and all of that, you do kind of feel like this overwhelming sensation of I must do
everything.
Like everything. And it's in retrospect now, you look back at it and go, no, you really don't need to just feel like you have to jackhammer your way through everything. You got to do everything. And take it slow because there's so many things you can miss visually if you're just rushing from point A to point B the entire time. And like even like our very first trip with the kids when they were not Gregory wasn't even 1 and Abby had just turned 3, I believe. Yeah,
she wasn't just turned even 3. She wasn't 3 when we went.
Right. She turned 3 after the trip. But like they played her on the Epcot playground, which is something that if you're moving so fast, you could easily miss that. It's almost kind of like when you see horses with blinders on. Like, you're not looking at things on the side. You're only looking at your objective in front of you. And you can miss things. Super. I'm not even talking about just, like, hidden Mickeys and stuff. Just different sights and things that you would love to be able to see. And then you read about after and go, how did I miss that? Oh, right. I was too busy rushing from wherever I was to my next objective. So you take it slow when it's your first time there. Unless you're there only for a day or two. In that case, yeah, you're probably going to try to slam as much stuff as you can. But if you're there like we are for about a week usually or at least a long weekend. We've done shorter, long weekends and stuff. Take your time because there's a lot to see. There's a lot to do. But there's absolutely no requirement that you jam-pack your schedule with stuff.
Right. And I think the big thing with that is that a lot of people, this is their once-in-a-lifetime trip, right? You know, so not everyone is us, where we are obsessed.
Psychos.
And we, yes, you know, this is, we love going. But, you know, I it's your once-in-a-lifetime trip, or, you know, it's your once in a couple of years. You're not going to go for a while, and you want to get as much done as possible because you think you have to. You're not going to enjoy it. You're going to be very exhausted by the end, and you're going to miss things. You're going to miss the little things that, that you could, that could really spark, put a sparkle in your eye. You know, I think we, so our very first trip, we took Abby to get her hair done. Yes. She had her very first haircut at the barbershop, Harmony Barbershop. And then I was like, okay, we have to go do this, this, and this. And then, you know, all she wanted to do was just, like, admire herself, like, in her princess hair, you know? And and it was... just, she just wanted to see it and just explore it. And I have this picture of her just looking at herself in the mirror and loving it. And she's 2 years old, and it's just the cutest thing ever.
Yeah.
So it's taking a breath and understanding and that you're not going to do it all. And, you know, looking at all the things that you could do, because you're never going to do it all. We've been so many times and we still haven't done everything.
It's, yeah, definitely.
What are your top, either your top three priorities in your whole trip or your top 2 to 3 priorities in each park?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like, is your top priority, I need to get on Slinky Dog Dash, or I need to see the fireworks, or I need to see the opening show at the castle,
mm-hmm.
or I need to dine at a certain location, or right. something like that, you know, or I have to see this show, or I have to meet this character. Limit those priorities, and that's what you do. And then just let everything else kind of fall into place. There is planning involved, right? There is, you can't just let everything fall into place. There is planning that you have to do. But don't make yourself do everything and run around and miss things and think, I have to ride every single attraction or it's not going to be a good trip. No, because there's more than just the attractions too in Disney World.
Yeah.
There's so much more to explore, to see between the shows. When you're in Epcot, you know, the biggest thing I see in Epcot are people just running from attraction to attraction to attraction. Okay, yeah. I've gotten on Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. Now I got to run straight to Frozen. You're missing all these countries in between and all these things that you can be seeing and exploring. There's this, what's his name? The juggler in Italy. I can't remember his name.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Who I just think is hilarious. There's bands playing in England. There's a number of different things that are happening throughout, and you're missing it because you're just concentrating on, okay, I've got to get to Guardians of the Galaxy at this time, and then I got to get on Figment, and I got to do this, and I got to get on Station of Earth. So you're not going to do it all.
No.
Priority certain things. Prioritize Guardians of the Galaxy because it's the best ride ever. But prioritize, and then let the rest kind of happen.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's even, like, really, like, small things. Like, I'm pretty certain once they put up, right now they still have, I think it's bronze, maybe, the statues
mm-hmm.
that they have kind of all throughout the different parks. I'm pretty certain it was at least the third or fourth time walking past it before we noticed Stitch, the bronze Stitch statue in Tomorrowland, which is super easy to miss because when you're on that bridge going from the central area into Tomorrowland, your eyes are on the Astro Orbiter and the surrounding area there. Stitch is off to the side.
Yeah.
And he's blocked at certain points because of how the bridge is set up. So it's small things like that. If you're hunting for all of those, like, that's your objective. You'll find them, obviously. But if they're kind of, like, random things that you're like, oh, that's really cool. I didn't know that was there. That's easy to miss, something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, just small little things as you're... if you're rushing, again, like you said, if you're rushing from attraction to attraction, you're going to miss a lot of the randomness along the way.
And you're not going to be able to do it. So, like, what if you really want to build a lightsaber, right?
Yeah.
Or a droid. So the experiences take time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to do those, and then you're not going to be able to do everything else. Or if you really want to ride Rise of the Resistance, but you're not going to pay for it because, you know, it's expensive sometimes to pay for it.
Sure.
You're going to wait maybe an hour.
Yep.
So you're not going to be able to do something else. And that's okay. You know, allow yourself that flexibility. Allow yourself to be like, to say, okay, I need to get on Rise of the Resistance and I need to build a droid. Those are my 2 things I need to do. Okay. Then plan your life to do that. So that way you still have a good time.
Well, it's kind of like how and this is kind of not nitpicky, because I'm sure it'd be easy to see this character now that it's there. So you mentioned earlier about our plan at Hollywood Studios this past month when we went in August was, we've got the two rides, we order the Ronto Roasters, that's our schedule for the morning right there. But we had a downtime in between the two rides, and obviously waiting for Ronto Roasters. So there's a little, like, kind of market area in Galaxy's Edge where it's just random shops. You can buy, like, the little shoulder pets, I'll call them, that you can get, all sorts of randomness. And a character they've recently added at the parks is the Mandalorian, along with Grogu, Baby Yoda, some people call him. And I don't know what his full, like, wandering path is or anything like that, but because we had slowed down and we were just kind of like, because we had scheduled ourselves to slow down in between the two rides and all that, I got a photo of him, not with him, but of him, because he was surrounded by people, naturally. But if we had been rushing from attraction to attraction, we probably could have completely missed,
yeah,
you know, missed him there. If we didn't slow down and just randomly check stuff out, I would never have known that there was a giant pin trading store at the front of Epcot. Which,
yeah, I can't believe you didn't know that, by the way.
Yeah, it was like two or three trips in.
Pin trader. You didn't know that. Right. I knew that, and you didn't know that.
But now because like I learned that, because I said I'm a slow down because I'm going to go in here. There's two Oswald pins I have upstairs in our room on our little, like, call it cork board, that were only there. They're like special ones. And it's small things like that. Some people won't care about small things like that. But if you slow down, you may find something you actually, you know,
yeah,
care about, and that you'll check out on future visits too, when you realize that you need to make more time for yourself for that stuff.
Well, I think a big thing, like, with a slowdown too, and this is kind of, I have a couple of that kind of go around slowing down, so I'll talk about those, I think.
Yeah.
A big thing is, I always say, is plan a rest day.
God, yes, please.
So, you know, that gives you a chance to recharge. If you're staying on property, the hotels are really nice. No, yeah, matter where you stay, there's going to be something to do. You know, you could, if you're staying at Port Orleans, you can go horseback carriage.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, they basically just go up and down, at least in French Quarter. I'm not sure about Riverside.
Yeah, they go, yes, they, you do, can, yeah, you can do that. There's a number of different other activities that you can do. There's, some of them have scavenger hunts. They, you know, depending, the pools are fantastic. Obviously, if you get higher up in the level categories, the pools are a little bit nicer. But there's always something to do. And it's a great opportunity to sleep in, explore the resort, explore other resorts, which you can,
yes,
also do.
Absolutely.
So if you're staying on the Skyliner line, you can go explore Pop Century, Art of Animation, the Caribbean Beach,
Riviera,
and then everything in that Epcot area, which is really nice. The whole, absolutely, boardwalk area has some entertainment and different things that you can do there.
Absolutely, yeah.
The monorail resorts are just, it's just kind of nice to walk through them and see what each resort has to offer. But then,
yeah,
just staying in your own resort and enjoying a day to do nothing on vacation is vacation. You, so many people come home and they say, did you enjoy your vacation? Did you relax? No, I went to Walt Disney World. I was running around like crazy. Take at least one day. My ideal trip is to do park, rest day, park, rest day, park, rest day. Because you get a break in between and you really get to enjoy that. Now, that works for us because we're pool people. Like, I can sit at the pool all day. Our kids could do it all day. And we really enjoy ourselves.
Right.
Not everybody is a pool person. So, you know, don't plan that. But we took a rest day when it was just the two of us. And we went to the AMC in Disney Springs. And we saw a movie on vacation. Which is stuff,
right,
that we like to do. You know? So, there's an, if you really like to shop, that, you know, Disney Springs is a great place to go.
Area, man. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
There's definitely something you can do, but just take a day to just not be in the park, not just for resting your feet, but also it's a lot of stimulation, especially for children,
mm-hmm,
when you see everything. So give them a little bit of a break too from it, and let them sleep in, especially if you're a rope drop family. Let them sleep in. I like to do a sleep in day after we've seen a fireworks. Because
100%, yeah,
we don't normally see fireworks. We don't normally go because they're so late for our children.
Right.
So if we do that, then I like to sleep in the next day and kind of do it that way. So really build in that rest day.
Well, it's interesting you point that out because as I love golf, I didn't play this past August. Thank God the weather was ridiculous anyways. But last August in 2022, when we went, I did play on one of the mornings, but it wasn't a rest day. It was a park day.
Yeah.
Which I was fine with. It was no problem. I met you at Epcot. But by the end of the day, like, even, like, riding in that golf cart, it was, like, I was up early to get to the actual golf course from Coronado Springs.
It was 110 degrees out.
I mean, it was hot and humid. Played my round. Got back. It's a whole nother story about the stupid route I took to get back to the hotel. But did all that. Then went to Epcot. And I think, I don't remember if that was our four-park day or if it was a different day where we, like, hopped to all four. But by the end of the day, like, my legs, if they had the ability to speak, would have said, what have you done to us?
Yes, I'm old.
Because it was too much. It was too much.
I'm too close to 40 for this.
There you go. Now, in retrospect, I wouldn't have changed it because I love golf and that was a fun golf course. Disney Golf. And it was Florida off of my list of 50 states. However, it was a lot. And it was just you and me. If the kids were with us, I probably wouldn't have done that just because that's an added layer of keeping track of them, chasing them down. And it's just more exhaustion to add on top. And if you don't have, like, a baked-in rest day or something like that, you're just punishing yourself by not allowing yourself to kind of rejuvenate there. Yeah, because, again, you pointed out, like, our kids are pool people to an extent. But our kids are also, let's call them Disney Plus kids, because you can, like, put something on for them and we can all rest for, like, half an hour to an hour and reset batteries that way, too.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to just break up a trip, see something different that isn't necessarily in a park. And again, the battery recharge is the big thing.
Right. And if you have that luxury, if you have enough time in your trip to plan it out, to have that break, I would do it. Doing four parks one day after the other is very exhausting.
It's a lot.
You walk really more than you think you would. So just having a break from all of it for our family is really, really important. Now, you could be a family who, we have no problem. We go to amusement parks all the time, constantly. We're never stopping.
Yeah.
We hate pools. Fine. If that works for your family, do that. I just know for our family, we need that break. And it really helps us not be cranky people. And I can get cranky pretty easily.
And this is just remove the heat and humidity from the equation. It's still a lot of walking. It's still a lot of stress on the joints.
Even in February, it was still a lot of, a lot of things. You're constantly moving. It's a lot of stimulation, like I said.
Just ride the people mover over and over again.
Right? I love the people mover. But so then the other thing with that, besides the rest day, that I actually said was plan a time to sit down to eat every day. So
at least one meal.
So for us, we typically have breakfast in the room or because we do rope drop. So we'll usually do breakfast in the room or breakfast on the bus or the monorail or wherever we are.
Yep.
And then get to the park. I think, one of the biggest things is planning to sit down. Doesn't have to be sit down restaurant, but just planning to sit down somewhere for a meal, like lunch. Or, dinner or something. Lunch is usually what my preferred is. And planning, especially when you go in the hotter months, planning that to be a place that is indoors.
Yes, please.
So if you're in Epcot eating Creations, it's a huge cafeteria, huge quick service opportunities. The food is pretty good, honestly, and it's a good place to just sit and relax.
Yep.
And these are available everywhere. So they can find them, when you're in Hollywood Studios, the commissary.
Commissary is great.
It's huge. It's air conditioned. You can, in each of these places, you can fill up your water. Always have water. We didn't even talk about water. That salad is very good. We didn't even talk about water, but, these are a great place to just sit in the air conditioning or in the rain, it's because you're inside.
Avoid the rain there,
Avoiding the weather for a little bit and just taking a break. So I always aim for that to be either, if we're still in the park, it's going to be somewhere air conditioned, or we're going to go take that big break back at the hotel and we're going to sit somewhere either in our room or at the hotel restaurant or something like that.
Absolutely,
so just planning to stop for a minute and just take a breath.
I'm convinced that's why Cosmic Rays in Magic Kingdom is so popular, because it's one of the few really big eateries with indoor eating space.
It's a really big one. Park.
That's my point.
Yeah.
And like Animal Kingdom, for example, there are some good quick service spots, but a lot of them are outdoor seating for the most part.
Yeah.
Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not trying to paint that as a negative. Just, well, if you're
objective... Dinosaur barbecue... not Dinosaur Barbecue. Dinosaur Barbecue is a different type of
there restaurant. There is, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about. It's in Dinoland.
In
yeah.
Dinoland. Dinosaur Barbecue is like a chain restaurant, I think.
Yes, it is.
Sorry.
Not located in Disney no. Parks.
But there's, you know, there are places that you can find that are inside.
Yes.
And all it, you know, really takes is just looking it up in advance or, you know, just checking on the map when you're there or in the
absolutely in yeah order your food yeah. ahead of time and then roll in somebody yes. claim a table, someone else go get the mobile order, you're mm-hmm. good to go.
And even if you're not going to sit for a whole meal, like maybe it's just I'm going to get a snack. I think one time I got a pretzel or I got an ice cream or something yes. and just sitting for a minute. I mean, even like when we went to so Casey's Corner in Magic Kingdom doesn't really have an indoor space. It has
it's very limited inside.
But it does have umbrellas. It is a nice place to sit down if it's not too hot outside. So if the weather isn't bad, you know, sitting down outside at Casey's Corner we had a lot of fun. You could see the castle. We actually saw the parade while we were there. But it gave us a chance to just sit and take a break. So absolutely. Whatever you can do to just plan a time to sit down. Even when I was in Disneyland, I didn't do an indoor one, but I went to Roger Roasters there as well to compare. Mm-hmm. And I sat down by myself in a shaded area outside and just took like 45 minutes to myself.
Yeah.
Just to rest, collect what I'm going to do, and just take a break. So I think planning for that is really important, especially if you're planning to be at the park from opening to close.
Yeah, yeah.
So planning a little bit of a break is very crucial for everyone to kind of reset.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. All right. Did you have any others?
I had the three on there that I've already kind of basically mentioned there.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we kind of like covered it a little bit there with my quasi point about the pin trading and how I wish I knew a little bit more about that. That's more of me
pin
personally.
Knew about pin trading in
more,
general.
More like the pin boards everywhere and not just you have... do you have to purchase? Remember, there's like pin traders everywhere. We've seen the random, call them independent sellers. Like in Epcot at one point, we were just going to use the bathroom over by the America Pavilion. And you pass a whole bunch of picnic tables. And there was somebody who just had their display of stuff out and said, make me an offer. Not like they were selling, but like trade offers yeah. and stuff, which I thought was great. And it's small things like that, not that I don't have a decent collection right now, but I wish I knew some of that stuff ahead of time rather than just kind of going in blind and going, wait, what's that? What do you mean there are pin trading boards around? I didn't know this ahead of time.
Yeah.
But no, I think I've gotten, that was basically my list of yeah. things there. Yeah.
No, I think that was good. I think we had a number of different, I think we could go on and on. There are so many other things, like I mentioned, we didn't talk about having a water bottle, packing your bag, like all these other things. So maybe we'll absolutely, revisit yeah. this again, but for now, I think these are some good things to keep in mind as you plan your very first trip and the very first time you're going to be there. And I think the biggest lesson from all of this is what we talked about is that you're not going to do it all. So just recognize that from the beginning, that it is impossible to do everything, and don't set myself up for failure. Set myself up to have a great vacation.
Absolutely.
And enjoy my time there and really take it all in.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, I think that was good. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. As always, if you have any more or you're looking for any more tips or information about traveling to any Disney property or traveling in general, visit us at unlockingadventures.com. And you can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Adventures by Lisa K. Have a great day.
Watch out for bears.